So let's go to our Bibles this morning and go to Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. We are, on Wednesday we talked about the prayer of forgiveness, and we haven't finished that. We started it. It's a lot to talk about in one setting. I could have just gave the, I kind of went over a few points, but we might go to back to it. We might not. We're going to be doing a prayer seminar, I believe, maybe in the daytime. If you want to learn how to pray for yourself, you know, what exactly does it mean praying for yourself? Well, there's a lot of things you have to take care of yourself on the spiritual end of things. Don't let it, you know, you can't give your prayer request to everybody. Are you here this morning?
Yes.
You can't be putting it all on Facebook and say, y'all pray for me. I have this problem and that problem. That's your problem.
Amen.
Amen. That's your problem. You should learn, come to church and learn how to pray for yourself. Take your own problems to the Lord. That's what the scripture says. Take, when you go to your prayer closet, Jesus says, take your requests and talk to God. And that's what you're supposed to do. Paul over in the New Testament, in the epistle, says, you know, that when you take your, you must take your request to God. Not your aunt. Amen. You have to take it to God. So it's you and God. That's what it's called, a personal relationship with Jesus. So, and then you need to learn how to pray for other people that you love. Learn how to pray for other people that you love. You know, praying for the city. How do you pray for the city? Some people think they can pray, a prayer, and then, you know, have an intercession for a couple of few years, and you take authority over all the city, and now you got the city cleaned up. You know, or just pray one prayer shield, and that'll be it. No, it's an ongoing basis. Because there's devils here. They have license to be here. Devils have license to be in this city. Amen? Just like you have a license to be here. You have a right to be here. And that's why we need to keep praying, because people keep giving into these things, and we keep praying, rescuing them. We're intercessors. Hallelujah. And you can't just pray that one time. You have to pray. For instance, you know, we've been praying about things that people put on on the internet, on their Facebook, whatever. I can track back in the early 90s. We were waking up at, early 6 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock. We go to prayer for 7 to 8 and go to work. And we done that for 2-3 hours and pray. And I found out that we didn't take care of it. We still have to pray the same thing. We didn't solve it yet. And other people are doing it today. They're picking up the slack. And so we did that for a couple of several years. Early in the morning, asked this lady, we'd go and pray early in the morning. And so it's a continual basis. We have records of who was at the prayer meeting. I could name you. And I could tell you what scriptures we read. And I could tell you what we prayed about and what specific prayer requests and what prayer requests were granted and so on. We've done that. We recorded everything in those prayer meetings from many years. Early in the morning. And so you have to learn how to pray about certain things. You have to learn how to pray for yourself and take care of your own spirituality, and you have to learn how to you can't be a baby and take your requests to other people and expect them to get your answers. No, you got to get your own answers. You know, I see you have little children. How many people took children to the, over here? What is it called? The children's ministry church? What if you just left them there, went home? And you say, well, Delika will be here. Children's age. And they'll be knocking at your door. But if you just, they know where to get home. They know how to get home. Well, we have to take our own prayer request. So you have to grow up and learn how to do things. So you learn how to pray for other people. And you can't just pray for everybody. And like you knock them over the head and make them do things. Amen. Or you can't pray for a pastor and say, Lord, I'm just going to take authority over this guy and make him have these sermons. And that's called witchcraft. Amen. So you have to learn how to pray for people. How do you actually, what are the rules for it? Well, how do you pray for someone? How do you pray in agreement with someone? If someone says, can you agree with me in prayer? And do you just rush up and, you know, lay hands on them suddenly and start praying for them without asking questions and without asking what they believe about it? And, and where you stand, what your part is, what their part is. And when the answer comes, how do you settle it when the answer comes? So you have to be able to learn all these things. And that's why we're having a seminar. We're going to pray and pray for people. How do you pray for someone who is out there? How do you pray for people? There's some people you can't pray for anymore. There's some people, Jesus said, don't pray for them anymore. They're gone. They won't come back again. And that's a scary thing. How do you pray for people? There's a sin unto death the Bible talks about. People who rejected God, rejected Jesus, and no more. I remember hearing a story from Brother Hagin where he was praying and the Lord kept praying for a certain person, a minister. And the Lord gave him a vision and said, you stop praying for that person. They're not coming back. And so you have to understand there's some things you have to learn about praying. Amen? Now, don't get all sober on me because these are things out there. We have to learn to grow and believe God for people. Amen? And you might be thinking right now, who is that person I can't pray for anymore? Well, if you still have a burden for them, you keep praying for them and believe God for them. If they reject Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrews, there's no more repentance. There's a sin unto death, and 1 John says, there's a sin unto death where you don't pray for them anymore and you stop praying for them. So there are things that we have to understand about praying for people. And so we're learning how to pray for ourselves. We learn how to pray for other people. You know, you don't make deals with God. Amen? And so we have to learn, you know, the secret power of prayer. Amen? And so we thank God for prayer. Prayer is like breathing. Everybody say prayer?
Prayer.
It's like breathing. Well, you can't live without breathing. Neither can you have a spiritual life without breathing, without praying. You can't have a healthy spiritual life without having prayer. So when you go to prayer, especially if you go to prayer, if you've been mean to people, that'll come up in your prayer closet. Amen. If you pray for something, you're asking God for something, your needs, and the Lord said, wait a minute. You better go back to your prayer, you better go back to this. What's this case coming up here? What are these resentments? What are some of these strife situations, these divisions, and these name-calling, and all this stuff, and all that bad stuff you've been doing? You better forgive first. This is where we're going to get into our thing. We're going to learn it. We're going to pray. We're going to learn something and pray for the rest of the morning. No, we're going to learn how to forgive people. Amen? So we learn how to pray. And we have to learn how to forgive. If you go to your Bibles and go to Mark chapter 11, and we're going to read a number of portions of the scripture. Mark chapter 11. And I gave you a verse already. I gave you verse 25 and 26. Learning to forgive. Mark 11, 25. Jesus is speaking, and when you stand praying, well, it just means when you're standing in prayer. It doesn't mean when you're standing up exactly, but when you stand praying, what does it say? Forgive if you have aught against any. What does that mean, aught? Well, we'll look at it in a moment. That your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. I guess ought and trespasses are the same thing. But if you do not forgive, that's if you have unforgiveness in your heart, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. So there's something about learning to forgive that'll set you free spiritually. And then let's go to, we're talking about forgiveness, but what does it mean to forgive? Well, Matthew 18:21, the Amplified Bible, classical edition, says this. Now, Peter had he was very quick-witted. It reminds me a lot about Pastor Ken. You know, if I tell him to do something, he'll do like three steps ahead at a time, and he'll rush and do it. He wants to do it right. He wants to do it, but he'll go ahead and do it. Then I have to undo everything sometimes. And so it's good to be quick, but you have to know what you're doing. Amen. So it says there, and Peter came up to him, Matthew 18:21, and said, this is Jesus talking, and Peter. Peter said, Lord, or Jesus, how many times may my brother sin against me, and I forgive him and let him go? As many up to seven times? He's talking about, you know, of course, Jesus talked to him a little bit more about, he said, you know, it's not just seven times, but 70 times seven. How much is that? 490? You got it right? Okay. So here's what the dictionary says about forgiveness. He says to forgive, or forgiving, or forgiveness means this, means to grant a pardon of an offense or debt. In other words, if I owe you money, you need to forgive me today. if you have a, you know, it's easy to sometimes to forgive a, you know, $2, but if it's like $200,000, a little different, you know. So anyway, it says here, the dictionary, it says to pardon an offense or debt. It means to absolve, to give it all up, or to give up all the claims. It means to grant a person pardon, to cease to feel resentment against someone. Anybody feel like they resent someone if you think about it long enough? Yeah? You still have little hurts there? Just little hurts, you know? I mean, they're just there. Every time you think about it, a tear comes down your eye. You know? You kind of get, your feathers start to get ruffled a little bit. Okay? It means to cease to have resentment against anyone, to forgive enemies, to cancel indebtedness or liability, to pardon an offense of an offender. Well, over in the Amplified Bible, we just read Matthew 11:18-21. It says, the Amplified actually corrects that. He says, how many times my brother sinned against me that I forgive him? It says, and let him go. And there's that thing, let it go, at the end there. Forgiveness means letting go. Forgiveness means letting it go. Let the debt go. Cancel it. Just let it loose. When you take a step of forgiveness or forgiving someone, you have to be or are willing to let it go, let it all go, no matter what the offense is. You leave it alone. You don't bring it up anymore in their face or anybody and everybody else, and talk to someone else and say, you know who offend me? I got an offense on this church or this pastor or this brother or sister in that church. And that's continuing on, and it's never solved. It keeps going round and round and round, and it's never, if you're wondering around why your spirituality is sputtering, and that could be a good reason. And any time, Brother Hagin used to say, anytime my prayers, if I don't feel my prayers being answered, or if I don't get answers to prayer, or I don't get a healing right away, this is the first place I'd look is in this Mark 11:25-26. I ask God to forgive me. And then I go on to, you know, whatever I needed to do. So you have to let it go. Don't bring it up anymore. Don't allow it to hamper your life any longer. Be willing to let the bad feelings go. And so, the Amplified Bible, Mark 11:25, the classical edition, says this. Amplified, Mark 11:25. And whenever you stand praying, now this has to do with your spirituality, your breathing, your essential time with God, and you're talking with God, and you're beginning to have this conversation with God, and you're praying for something. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. This is the Amplified, classical. In order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them go. So it's all about forgiving. It's all about letting it drop, letting it go. And so God says, you know what? I can't deal with you. I can't grant you your prayer. I can't get you across and do this unless you do something down there on earth to fix that up. Okay? So let's talk about granting forgiveness for a moment. You know, when you think about it, really, forgiveness is really it really means loving someone in a very specific way. Forgiveness means loving somebody in a very specific area. Because love is a huge topic, but forgiveness is one aspect of loving somebody. Jesus said in John chapter 13:34, the King James says, a new commandment I give unto you. Everybody say, a new commandment. Now, a commandment is law. You cannot change it. It's the way God says you have to do this. This is not optional to keep a resentment. It's not an optional thing to say, you know, you still owe me $20. I'm not going to give you again a chance in the future. Well, you may or may not. I want to just talk about this for a moment because this is a problem because some people keep getting in trouble because they keep taking that person back who's wronged them and they keep getting hurt. There's something wrong with that situation. Now, forgiveness doesn't mean you have to put up with people all the time. A lot of people enjoy this part. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's good, right? I'm glad that I don't have to put... You see, these guys are offended right now. They're leaving right now. Now these are old-time Pentecostals. We've been together for years and years. I'm just as old as they are. Like my hair is not as gray as theirs. Amen. So... that you love one another, the second part, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you may also love one another. Now, Jesus is saying, you know, you need to love other people the way I loved you. And he never put any strings attached on a relationship. And so when we love someone, we forgive them, we don't put any strings attached to them. But listen, you can't be stupid. You must read the scriptures and be wise. John 15:12, Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. So we said that forgiving someone is a very specific way to love someone. And let's go over here and see that over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Jesus is talking, or at least Jesus is talking. The Holy Spirit and the Father is talking through the Apostle Paul. And he's writing a letter to the Corinthians because they're having, you know, they're charismatics. They have gifts of the Spirit. They speak in tongues. You know, charismatics can be in a lot of trouble. And sometimes they think because they pray in tongues, they're all super spiritual, and that they're just really babies. You don't know very much. And just because you worked a gift of the Spirit one time doesn't mean you're mature, right? So you can have the gifts of the Spirit. You know, Brother Hagin talks about 9 manifestations or 9 ways the Holy Spirit will manifest themselves. And 4 of those manifestations is up to you to act on the gift. There's a gift of healing. You know, you don't have to wait for God to practice the gift of healing. You can go ahead and pray for someone and pray for the healing, and someone can receive the gift of healing, manifestation, you know. But you can work a miracle anytime you want. That's an operation of the Spirit. You can work a miracle. You can't fake a miracle. But you can exercise healing. So 9 manifestations, 9 ways Holy Spirit manifests himself, and only 4 of them really are gifts. For instance, you can pray in tongues. You don't have to wait for Holy Spirit to manifest himself. You can just pray in tongues anytime you want. You can interpret. You can interpret your tongue. And you can prophesy. Everyone, anybody here, I don't care who you are, every one of you can prophesy. That is without revelation. That is without any word of wisdom or knowledge. That's having revelation aside extra to it. Everybody here can prophesy. You can get up right now. Any one of you can just prophesy. Yee, says the Lord. That's why you have to start, you know. When we were young, going to Pentecost church, everybody spoke in the King James Version. Yee, says the Lord. But they always prophesy in King James. Otherwise, it's not legitimate. Well, that's the way we grew up. We think this, you see. You get funny thinking. But God also speaks in a Jew way, I found out. He can speak in French. So how is God going to talk to a Frenchman? He only understands French if he's only English. Well, he can speak any language. So you can exercise forgiveness because it's been given to you, and you can do this. You can let someone go. Amen? How many of you ever been hurt in your life? Let me see your hand. It should be everybody. Huh? Everybody should have done this. Okay, I ask you another question. How many of you ever offended and hurt somebody? Yeah? That should be almost everybody. Ernie, come on. Just her, right? Okay. So, let's go over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, and let's look at very specifically what forgiveness is. And I'm going to read the Amplified. There's a number of things there that speak about what love is, but I'm going to look at the latter section of it. Let's read the whole verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the Amplified Classical here. It says, love, it is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly. You ever see people who are just rude, unmannerly in public? Don't you do that, because that's not walking in love. Jesus calls it not walking in love. And you're mean to your servers. Come on, can you get that any faster? What's wrong with you? I told you what my order was. And then you're mean to those people. Like, you know, that's not walking in love. You better watch how your prayer, you want your prayers answered. You better start treating people a little bit decently. Amen? It is not rude or unmannerly, and it does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. You know, well, I got my right, I got my say-so. Well, you know what? If you had all your say-so in your marriage wouldn't last. You'd destroy each other. You'd kill each other. If you had your last word and said whatever you want with your husband or wife, you won't have a marriage left. It'd be very difficult to live with somebody who's always bringing up your past and bringing up hurts and just saying whatever you want rudely to them. You know, it's better to keep your mouth shut. There's a good message there for husbands and wives. It is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Notice this, the last section. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to the suffered wrong. If you have occasions to keep account of how many times someone's hurt you, or what they did to you, rehearsing it over and over, and you're paying attention to the hurt all the time. If you're always thinking about, you ever notice that? I talked to somebody the other day. They're still hurt about something that I did, that I didn't even know it caused, that I had no control over. That they're hurt because of it, and they're mad at me because I exist, I guess. You know, so sometimes, you know, there are people who are holding on to anger and they can't get over it. And nothing's going right in their lives. They're wondering why they're not, their jobs are lousy and they can't get ahead in different things. They're not only mad at one person, but they're mad at a whole lot of people. They're mad at the world. And so they can't seem to get ahead. And I think if we learn this from the scriptures, that forgiveness has to do with our spirituality, and our spirituality and our heart is so credible when it comes to living a healthy spiritual life. I'm getting on a roll here. It seems to be good. Yeah, something's going on here. The Lord woke me up. I'm not kidding to you. I worked just two hours yesterday afternoon working on stuff, and I got all things things lined up, and I woke up this morning, and suddenly I saw the whole sermon there, and all the scriptures lined up. Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom came to me in my own bed. And he said, there's a number of people in the church that need to work on this, including you. I was talking about Pastor Kent. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, all of us, we all need to have a spiritual checkup. That's what we're having this morning. Is that okay? I did have something else, but it says it takes no account of the evil done to it. It takes no account. None. So if you're rehearsing this, you got this going, then you haven't really forgiven. And it's hurting you. It's messing you up. You're having a hard time. Now, I'm going to get to something here in a moment that's going to speak to you, because the Lord spoke this to me. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. I want to show you that forgiveness is a specific way to love someone. You put that in your status this morning. Send it out to all your enemies and people who will harm you, the people you owe a lot of money to. Tell them that. Tell that to Walmart and stuff. Okay. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. This is talking about, legalism and law. And these guys were going back, that they had to go back to working for God's love and so on, and working to get accepted by God. But he says, but faith, which worketh by love. See, our faith life is hampered by the way we love or don't love or keep resentment and anger and all that stuff. We keep that in. It's going to affect our faith life. So it's important for our health in all around area, spirit, soul, and body, if we're going to learn to walk in this forgiveness. Are you confused about forgiveness? Let's ask this question. Do you have any confusion when it comes what it means to forgive someone or something that someone's done, or let even to yourself, or something that happened in the past? What about forgiving yourself? Do you have confusion about that? People often have confusion about what does it mean to forgive. Or, if they've done something bad themselves, they have a hard time to forgive themselves. They're confused about this. How do I do this? It's especially difficult when someone has brought them very, very much harm, left them in a great difficulty. For instance, when a child or a young person gets abused sexually, it does a lot of things, damage to someone. It tells us, science tells us, that when a kid is abused sexually as a child, something happens to their brain. Definite changes in the brain that takes place. And it takes a lot of healing to take, a lot of healing for God to work through. He can heal at any time, but I'm saying it takes a lot of effort, especially if you're going to go see counselors. There's some things going on in the brain it's there. They need healing. That's why Jesus said, I'll set the captive free. So, also in a marriage where maybe the husband, usually this is the case, usually where a husband has been unfaithful to a wife or has been physically abusive to a wife. And there's been physical harm and mental anguish and words spoken. And it's very difficult. So how do you forgive someone? What does it mean? What does it look like for a wife to forgive a husband who is abusive all their lives? I've known Christians who were married for years, raised children. And the husband, the Christian husband, was mean to the wife, and finally the marriage broke up. And the person still has, and the kids are mad because they're mad at the dad, and he caused all this trouble. He was abusive to their children, verbally and so on, and caused a lot of harm, and the family broke up. That's a sick situation. How are you going to work that out? So does the husband, you know, can the wife come back and just say, you know, forget it, let's get married again, let's do this? Because they divorced. Things like this are going on. And then there comes other complications. That God, that they're feeling like they're second class citizens in God's kingdom. And if they had a ministry, no, they no longer have a ministry. It's destroyed. And so on. All kind. I mean, this is rippling effect. Kids don't want to long talk to their parents or dad anymore. And so it's gone on and on. It just goes on for years and years. It's still going on today. And I was in a situation where I was helping somebody. I mean, I was in that, watching someone. And I said, you know, man, I don't know how the wife was able to take that kind of abuse over those years. And then they get mad at the woman because she couldn't take it anymore. Because there's no love in the home, and there's no God in there. And it's ungodly. It's supposed to be Christian. And people are confused about it. So, how do you forgive with that? How do you forgive when someone has left you in such a tragic situation? How about in a relationship when someone keeps hurting you or disappointing you with failures of their sins or failures with their undeveloped character, and they can't seem to get over it? So how do you forgive someone? They can't get it straight. What does the Bible say? What do we do? The Bible does say that we must forgive and to walk in love, but what does it look like? What does that look like? So you have to make a call by going to the scripture and finding out what you have to do in that case. Now, people are going to tell you all kinds of things because they're not living with an abusive person. They're not getting battered and blued. And they're not getting, you know, abused sexually, and you're living in that house. If someone is abusing you, you got to remove yourself from that hurtful situation. And don't misinterpret that you got to forgive them and keep allowing them to hurt you. That's including a wife who's married to an abusive man, who's living a life and he's messing around with other women. The Bible says if a man loves a woman, he's not going to do that kind of stuff. We're not permitted to be in that situation. You know, over the years you see all kinds of stuff where abuse have been, you know, people use God and use the Bible and use the word, you know, what's wrong with you? You're Christian, you're supposed to forgive. Yeah, I'm going to forgive, but I'm not going to allow to be battered and bruised all my life. God wants me to be healthy and whole. Amen. And so you must protect yourself, especially when others around you are hurting you. And you must remove yourself from a bad situation like that. And remove yourself so that kids are not going to be hurt. Is this getting too hard on someone? Because people keep leaving. I don't know. Is that okay? I'm getting nervous here. Lord, help us. Jesus. Okay, so forgiveness doesn't mean you'll immediately feel fantastic. It doesn't mean if you forgive someone, you're going to feel immediately wonderful. Woohoo! I forgive them, person. You know? That feeling eventually will kick in. That you have that. The good feelings will often come later than we wanted, that we desired. The actions of yourself must precede the emotional release. Matthew 18:21, New Living says, Peter came to him and says, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me 7 times? It appears that Peter was getting disappointed in a certain situation with someone. You think Peter was putting up? Why did he tell Jesus that? Because I think he was having a hard time. People keep leaving over here. Is this long? Is it? Oh, it's only 11:45. Okay, I'm going to stop. It appears He was disappointed in a certain situation or needed to deal with other people who brought this up to him. And he didn't know what to do, since Jesus talked about walking in love. Let's go with the Message Bible. It says, at this point, Peter got up the nerve to ask, "Master, how many times do I forgive my brother who hurts me? Seven?" So this is talking about hurts and wrongs that people are offending you with. And Peter was asking, "How many times do I forgive?" So does forgiveness mean, listen, here's where the problem lies. Does forgiveness mean that you have to keep putting up with something? No. Does it mean you have to forgive and keep allowing that person to violate you and to beat you up and to abuse you forever until you finally die, go to heaven, and you're released? No. That's not what it's talking about. It says you must let it go, because Jesus is talking and thinking about your spirituality and how it's going to affect you if you don't let it go. Sometimes you hear something, I heard, I was in a meeting one time, a pastor's meeting years ago, and we were discussing different things. And it came up that one person had a really tough situation in life. And they said they couldn't forgive, and they just couldn't do it. Had a hard time with it. He said, "Well, and here's the logic behind the person's understanding of what forgiveness is, and perhaps maybe you are struggling with that." He said, "Well, if I forgive that person, it means I'm letting them go." They said, "Scot-free." I didn't mean to bring the Scots in it, but it's like something has nothing to do with the Scots. They said scot-free. Just let them go. And the psychologist said, really forgiveness has to do with you being free, not them. So when you forgive, you're allowing yourself to be free, and then you can go on. So it's important for you to recognize that if you're going to forgive, you got to be willing to let it go. And something happens on the inside of you that it lets you go, and then your spirituality will return to function in the proper manner, the way God wants it. You must grant forgiveness. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. This has to do, you have to check yourself. If you have a spiritual lifestyle, if you have a prayerful, healthy, prayerful lifestyle, you can't go to your closet without dealing with this situation. Letting it go. And the devil get in there, complicates it, and says, look at you. You still think about it once in a while. Look how you feel. That has nothing to do with forgiveness. Amen. How you feel. Because if it comes up and you think about it, or you have an occasion to be jog your memory on it, and that thing comes up to you, it's up to you right then and there to just let it go again. And if the devil keeps bringing it to you, then you tell the devil it's under the blood. It's forgiveness. I let it go. I'm not gonna bring it up again. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ's sake has forgiven you. In other words, you're going to grant someone the same thing that God himself has granted you, to forgive them. Because, you receive forgiveness from God. God wants you to give that to someone else. Give them the right to go on in life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, the Amplified Classical Edition says, be gentle and forbearing with one another. And if one has a difference or a grievance or a complaint against another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, you must also forgive. Freely. Let them go. Just let the person go free. Jesus talks about forgiving your enemies. He talked about letting your enemies go. Let's go back to Amplified, the Classical Edition, Mark 11:25, one more. He said, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, let it drop, leave it, let it go, in order that your Father, who is in heaven, may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings, and let them go. you know, people have, we're all frail human beings. We have problems in our armor, chinks in our armor, where we have difficult areas. Maybe we haven't worked on it the way we could have worked on it, we should have worked on it, on some of our character, our flaws, our difficulties, our shortcomings. And maybe we haven't had the occasion to work on it. And that's why I said, you know, you can't be a Christian and live at home and watch Christian television and be okay. You'll never learn how to have a good spiritual, strong life if you don't work among people. Because you can live at home and pretend you're a good Christian, but it's when you come to the church and have to actually make your way here and believe God for the ride, or get a ride, or get a car, to believe God for a car to get here, or find some way to get here, and to work among people that you don't actually like. I want to be serious. I didn't like a lot of people when I came into ministry, but it had nothing to do with if I liked them. God says I have to work with them. And I know this for a fact, that you don't have to like me to come to this church. Because God's working on you. God is working on you and your character because, you know, you don't like me because there's something wrong with you. Because he's working, he's led you here by his Spirit, so you have a mental blockage. But he's working on you. We've got to sing that song, God's working on me. Remember that song? We can all go into, you know, in unison with that song. What about paying people? What about forgiving somebody financially? You know? Do you walk away from somebody who owes you a lot of money? Can you forgive that? Well, in some occasions, you might have to, because they're not going to ever pay you back. Hello? You're not gonna claim the large portion of money because they're on welfare. And they're never going to pay you back. They're incapable to make that kind of money in their lifetime and pay their bills and live nice and to be able to pay you back. There's sometimes they can't pay you back. And guess what? There's some hurts that someone does to you can never be corrected in the natural sense. Can never pay you back. That's why in marriage relationships, if you hold something against your husband or wife, they cannot pay you back. They cannot pay you back. They will not. They couldn't. They could try. They'll never be able to do it. Never. That's why God has given us that ability to forgive, to start anew. Aren't you glad you can start anew again? Woo! Oh, my Lord Jesus, I thank God. I don't have to give you back all that money all you, Ernie. Let's go look at the scripture here. Matthew 18:23. We'll read several verses of scripture. I'm going to read the New English or New Living, because it's easier for me to read, and it's, you know, quite fluid than if I read in the King James. It's like if I'm trying to read in French. I can't read in French. And I heard Sidney Crosby try to speak French the other day. Did you forgive him for that? Yeah? Okay. It sounds like when Pastor Ken was in Ojibwe class, he's talking Ojibwe. And he did a good job. He could have fooled a few people. Did you find that scripture? Matthew 18:23. Let's start right there. We're going to go with several scriptures. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. Now, you're talking something when you talk about money. It arouses a lot of feelings in the kingdom of God when you talk about money. Right? If Pastor Ken asked me to go out for lunch, I asked him, do you got any money? I want to know who's paying. Okay. In the process of time, we leave the kitty out of it. In the process, one of the debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. You know, back in those days, that's how you pay. You owe me money, you're going to work for me forever. Maybe we should go back to that occasion. A lot of you be working for GM. Honda, some of us. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and children and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell before him, his master, and begged him, "Please be patient with me, and I'll pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity for him and released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to his fellow servant who owed him a few $1,000s. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servants fell down before him and begged him a little bit more. "Be patient with me, I'll pay. Pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you the tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. You should have mercy on your fellow servants, just as I have mercy on you." Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until all he had paid his entire debt. "That's the way my Father, Heavenly Father, will do to you if you refuse to give your brothers and sisters from your heart." So, you know, it's from this illustration, you could take a lot of stuff from it, but you can see that it's important to forgive. You know, God has forgiven you. There's some people that will never be able to pay you back. Set yourself free today. You know, in fact, even God will get into that. He said, you know, for poor people who can't pay you, he said, "I will be the one that pays you if you help a poor person." God says that. Look in your Bible. He said, "If someone who couldn't do it, I'll be there. I'm going to be there." He said, "I'm the father to the orphans," and you know, so on. So we will experience inner peace when we do that. Sometimes we can't forgive, you know, because you know, some people. You ever notice that there's some people that bug you? Their personalities bug you. Their character bugs you. And it just bugs you, rubs you the wrong way, and you just seem to be irritated by them constantly. I don't think anybody has that experience. Just a few people, I guess. You know, just rub you the wrong way. You have to work with them because you're in charge, or you're in charge over them, or you're put into a group and you have to work with people. And so they just rub you the wrong way. I remember Brother Hagin talking like this about, you know, one of the older guys he worked with, the older minister. He said, "He just rubbed me the wrong way." He said, it's like, you know, when you pet an animal, you rub his fur the wrong way. And said, so the one thing about that guy used to bug him, he said he was always slow. It just bothered him. It just almost irritated him to the point he got resentment. So sometimes there's some people, I mean, you know, I'm talking about just a little way here because you have to forgive people. Even if they bug you like that. It's not a big deal, but they bug you, you know. We need to learn how to forgive. Ephesians chapter 4 and 2 and 3 says this in New Living Translation, "Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love." It's not always, you know, someone has done you harm or bad just because they, you know, you have to be kind to people. Not everybody is developed as you are. Not everybody is as lovely and wonderful as you are. And all charactered up and everything. There's some people that need to help be helped along, and it takes time. That's why it says be patient with that person. You know, you ever notice that? You have to exercise patience with some folks? And you know, do this with your eye, huh? Okay, come on. Get in the car, hurry. Love is not touchy. Eh? Or if someone asks you for money, I remember we used to laugh, brothers, you know, do that. Well, here then. Give the money back. Give somebody the money, right? Finally, you give money to your brother. And you see, you're irritated because they're always asking for the same thing, never paying back. Colossians 3 and 13 to 15 says the same thing. He says, make allowances for each other's faults. Look at your neighbor, says, I'm going to make allowance for you. Come on, you have to do it. And forgive anyone who offends you. That's another thing. And the Lord, remember the Lord forgave you, you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, and which binds us together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. As members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Now, this peace cannot come unless you allow yourself to forgive. Because if you're always irritated with somebody, how is peace going to come unless you make that allowance for someone? Now, you can mess up if you want. I mean, I'm going to be patient with you as long as you're trying, and then you can have peace in there. Now, if they say, you know, if they don't want to do it, then, you know, just grab them by the seat of pants. And no, you don't do that. You just say, you know, listen, I love working with you. I'll find another job. I'll find somebody else. Or go, you know, help them find another job. So here's what you have to do. Let's close with this. I got 1 minute to close. Number one, it says, Jesus said, Mark 11:25, when you're praying, forgive anyone that you're holding a grudge against. Okay, we're gonna let go our grudge today. Okay, and don't tell somebody you have a grudge on them if they don't know anything. Then you're gonna create another trouble. You know, I remember one time in pastor in our church, one pastor, he made a thing like this and he said, now you have to go and forgive each other and do it maybe right now. I think he was trying to get us to forgive his wife. And so everybody had a big lineup to the pastor's wife. It was awesome. That was a church, extra church service. But so another thing happened was that other people started talking to other people. And they said, you know what? I just hated you for years. I mean, everything came out. I mean, everything you wanted to think about came out. I mean, you know, your character irritated me. It irritates me so much. Needless to say, that church does not exist today. How many people want to go to that church? Okay, number one, this is what you got to do according to the scripture. Number one, ask God to forgive you for holding a grudge and resentment and all that. Ask God, Lord, forgive me. Go to God and say, God, forgive me for holding this in. Number two, you can bring the music in. It will be much more dramatic if you just go. I'm not going to start till you get up here, because you're going to help me. The Bible says, is there a minstrel in the house? Let's play. Okay, number two, are you ready? Ask God to forgive the other person who harmed you, who did anything wrong to you. Say, Lord, I want this right now. I'm going to ask you to forgive that person for bringing harm in my life or to other people. Ask God, forgive them. That's the second thing you do. The third thing you do is that you release that person from anything that you've held them. So Lord, right now, I'm going to release that person and release the hurt and release anything that's gone wrong with that situation. I'm going to release it now in the name of Jesus. Confess it. Say it. And ask God, fourthly, ask God to release them from the harm they are creating. Lord, I'm going to ask you in Jesus' name to release that person from all the harm they've been causing. I pray for them right now that you're going to help release them from that situation. And number five, make a decision not to bring it up or think about it ever again. If it does come up, you confess and say, that's under the blood, I've forgiven that. If the devil tries to bring it back to you. And finally, thank God in faith that it's been settled by the blood of Jesus. And healing will come. The Bible says that healing and peace will come when you've done that. Is that good or what? Did you get something out of this morning? I'm glad the Lord has been speaking to us. Amen. Let's get up and stand up and thank God for his goodness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I want to thank you today for your goodness. I want to thank you for forgiving us, that we've granted forgiveness to other people. Let's go ahead and thank him in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah. We give you thanks, Lord, that we are forgiven people and we've granted forgiveness to other people. It's been done. It's under the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah, that I am forgiven. That other people are forgiven. That love abounds in my heart. That love abounds in my relationships, in my family, in my church, in my business, in my transactions with everyone. Love abounds. I'm growing all the time. Thank you, Lord, for healing and health in our lives. We give you praise, Jesus. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Now, if anybody here that needs to come back to God, all you have to do is say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I've been away from God. I've been away from the things of God. I'm walking in my in the love walk. I'm going to walk with you, Lord. Just make that commitment right now. Those of you watching online, if you're a Christian, you don't have to do it all over. Just say, Father, forgive me. I'm coming back home. I'll walk with you again. If you're not, you've never been born again, you can ask God to come in your life right now. Believe in his son, Jesus. He died for your sins. And say, Lord, I thank you for sending Jesus to die for this whole world, that Jesus is a gift to this whole world. Salvation belongs to everybody, and I receive my forgiveness of all my sins. And now I'm born again because I'm putting my faith in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for new life in Jesus' name. If that's you, you can write or call us anytime. We'll send you something, a package to help you learn and find a church near you. If you're out of town somewhere, find a church. Or if you're in this city, find a good church, Bible-believing church, and attend there and serve God there. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everybody. Have a wonderful day.